Narrative frameworks. 41. Where is this love? Where is the love you are? Is it outside of you? Is it inside of you? Two aspects of a duality, inside or outside. Is it in that place? Or is it in the other place? Two aspects of the duality, this place and that place. What happens if this love is located in a place beyond location? This timeless love beyond time, outside it and yet within it. This love beyond space, beyond the separate spatial locations, and yet contained within them, or running through them, existing within them. So when we're talking about timeless and spaceless, we're talking about beyond individual points in time and individual points in space. This timeless eternity is the realm of the non-dual. It's not a here or there opposition. It's a pure here, which is everywhere and nowhere, which is the centre and the periphery. The self and the world, the perceiver and the perceived. We split, we create the split, our mind creates the split, because it's programmed with duality. Language is dual. We speak in terms of this or that. Beyond this and that only is. And this is the space of the timeless eternal. This is the space of presence, of being here, the spaceless space, the timeless time of being here. The Lord is not outside of you. So let's look at that. Again, remember, language is of the duality. The Lord, what do you think of? You probably think of some godlike image. Probably you feel, oh, that's an antiquated word. That sounds a bit religious. The Lord is not outside of you. Whoa, that sounds like heresy. That sounds like, whew. But let's look at what is encoded within dualistic language. If you want to point what cannot be said, if you want to point to what cannot be talked of, what choice do you have but to use dualistic language? Beyond that, there's just silence. And in silence, there can be a boundlessness of love, an absence of love, perhaps anything in between, a golden silence of peace, or a tense silence of bad atmosphere, or a silence that's neither here nor there. So duality is a beautiful tool in which we can explore and express the inexpressible. But going back to this sentence, the Lord is not outside of you. So what do you assume from that sentence? You imagine maybe a Lord, which is, you know, typically outside of you, and there's a thing or a person or another entity bigger than you or greater than you is not outside of you. So well, if it's not outside of you, is not negative outside of you, then you have to find the opposite to outside. So the Lord is within you, Well, that's closer because it's pure consciousness is the most intimate thing you can come back to in yourself. But if this is a dualistic phrase pointing to a non-dual truth, then it's beyond inside and outside. The Lord is not outside of you. What if the Lord is love, pure consciousness? God is love. You know this phrase, God is love. What do you hear when you hear God is love? Do you hear God, this higher being, is love? Does that mean God, this higher being, is like love? Or does that literally mean God and love are synonyms? They're exchangeable words. God is love. Love is God. So even a simple phrase like God is love, it's, you know, it's fraught with difficulty based on where we are in our understanding of it, and how different people can be in different places of their understanding of it. So my understanding of the phrase God is love is that God and love are one. They're both words for pure consciousness. They're both words for pure awareness, the unmanifest absolute. And this unmanifest absolute is manifest and includes everything and all. All manifest beings held within the unmanifest being. So the Lord is not outside of you. Pure consciousness is not outside of you. Yes, it might be on one level. But on another level, how can all that is be outside of its manifestations? It is deeply within its manifestations. And then there's the other problem, that all that we think is loving is a construct. So it's more coming back to your direct feeling. Because love we feel when we feel it. So the Lord is not outside of you. There are two main interpretations, perhaps, of this phrase. The egoic interpretation and the pure peace interpretation. The egoic, egocentric interpretation: the Lord is not outside of you, therefore me, little me, must be a Lord, must be the God. I am a, you know, it's the interpretation of individual limited identity claiming Godhood. Because if the Lord is not outside of me, then, you know, by extension, people might misunderstand this phrase as meaning that their limited identity is Lord, when it's not, when it's isolated and on its own. We cannot take all power into our tiny little hands until we realise that our tiny little hands are an extension of that all power. And then there is the interpretation of peace, because then we are putting ourselves under the total authority of the absolute, of pure consciousness, of pure awareness. And the Lord is not outside of you. Well, no. All is the Lord, all is oneness, all is truth, all is pure being. And little me, far from being a Lord unto myself, exists in this total peace, exists in this total peace, as a manifestation of this total peace. P-E-A-C-E. So again, it's not just words we hear. It's the state of your own consciousness. And it's not just things we see. It's the state of your own consciousness. And it's not just things we do. It's the state of your own consciousness. Make it your own consciousness by unmaking all the things that made you separate. Your own consciousness. Preferable to your unconsciousness.